right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Becoming a Financially Confident Woman. This is Dr. April Murdaugh here, your host and owner, CEO of Woman to Woman Financial, a wealth management firm out of Jacksonville, Florida, where I help women, executives, business owners, and their families create and grow generational wealth. Today, it's Sunday, and I'm coming to you live from my home studio, and I want to talk about a topic that I always find quite interesting when I am contacted by people to do financial planning for them. They always have questions. They want to begin working with me. But one of the main objectives that they come to the table with is that they want to create a plan to pay off their home. I will tell you, if I talk to 10 people, 8 out of 10 of them want to pay off their home before they retire. And you know, the interesting fact, too, is that a lot of people don't really know if they'll ever retire. They're not sure what retirement looks like to them. But whatever the case, whatever they do, whatever retirement appears to be for them, they want to pay off their home. And so today I want to talk to you about the things that we should be considering when you want to pay off your home. We'll have this conversation. I'll outline some of the advantages and I'll outline some of the disadvantages. I'll give you a list of things to consider if that is the way you want to go. And then, you know, at the end of the day, one of the things that I encourage people to do is to meet with someone like myself to develop a strategy, develop a plan, really see how a plan can be developed in line with your values and your goals to be able to do just that. I mean, if you want to pay off your home, my opinion doesn't matter. This is your life. This is your money. My responsibility as a fiduciary is to give you the pros and the cons based on your situation and to be as objective as I can and giving you the advice based on what I see and what you shared with me. So let's dive right into it. So I thought it was an interesting statistic. I love statistics. I love to find out facts. You know, research is important to me. And one of the things I found from my reading was 37% of homes are owned free and clear, according to the U.S. Census Bureau's of American Community Survey as of 2019. So just 37% of homes in America are owned free and clear. So that's interesting. That's almost half. It's 13% away from half of the homes out here are owned free and clear. And you know, they say that, of course, cultural and economic factors play a big role on whether someone pays their home off or not. I do find that a lot of people that may have had some financial trauma in the past really want to pay off their home. Like, that is the big thing. If they struggled with debt, if they have struggled in the past financially, or they may have been a part of financial trauma growing up in their household, experiences with parents or significant others, they want to pay off their home. So those factors, cultural and economic factors, do play a role. And then, of course, as a Black woman, I had to look at it from a Black perspective. And Black households, you know, there is actually no statistic that tracks whether or not we pay off our homes or not, which is sad. It really showed us, or it told me in the research, that, you know, because we face as African Americans so many disparities when it comes to just home ownership in general, you know, tracking whether or not we pay it off is just really not something that's been done consistently. And so the research said that Black households face greater challenges achieving home ownership and paying off their home compared to white households. You know, in my culture as a Black woman, you know, home ownership is like the epitome of wealth. In this country, I'm in the United States of America, and in this country, you know, the American dream is to own a home, the white picket fence, if you are married, 2.5 kids and a dog and all of those things. But home ownership is like the epitome of the American dream in our country. And I will say I'm blessed to be a homeowner. As a single woman, I bought my first home when I was, I think, 44 years old. So it wasn't too long ago. that I purchased my first home as a single mother. And it was an exciting day for me. It was a day of tears, emotions, just to get to the point where I saved enough money. I was able to go through the process from a credit perspective, and then find a house that wasn't above what I could afford, because a lot of times in the mortgage process, you know, you may be able to afford one amount. But for me, I knew that what I was comfortable paying, and I really didn't want to be such a stretch for my rent, because I understood that home ownership is bigger than just the mortgage payment, the private mortgage insurance. It was bigger than the homeowner's insurance. And so, you know, and I found out very quickly, I think after my second year, they reassessed my property, that my home price went up because my homeowner's insurance increased and the property values in the area increased, which increased my property taxes, which impacted my mortgage payment. And so wasn't really aware of that when I went into this process, but definitely I wanted to make sure that I wasn't above what I could afford when I was renting. And that was extremely important to me. Even though I made probably way more money and could have afforded a bigger house, I just didn't want to be that stressed out, because I myself have had so much financial trauma based on decisions I have made, based on circumstances in my life that were controllable, circumstances that were uncontrollable. I just didn't want that kind of stress on myself. Among all the other things of being a single parent, the stress of being way over my head in a house payment was not something that I wanted. And so the home that I own is very modest. It's not like what my peers may think in terms of, especially for my industry. I just was very conservative in that regard. So sadly, African Americans, really, we don't have any statistics, no real research to show what percentage of them have paid off homes. And because of the disparities in our world, in our nation, when it comes to home ownership, and this being the epitome of generational wealth. So one of the ways that people create generational wealth is through home ownership. And, you know, my goal, my tagline, what I do for a living is to help people create and grow generational wealth. That, women especially, that is my life's work, because I didn't have that opportunity. And I know as a Black woman and as a woman, we're so marginalized in so many areas. Just being able to understand how to create wealth is important. And so one way that people do that is by purchasing a home, because some of us want to leave it to our children. Some of us, you know, want to see it appreciate and have equity. But it is it can be a very good wealth building tool for those who desire it to be that way. The interesting thing, and before I get into it, is, you know, I found that no matter how much when we purchase our home, we say we want to leave it to our children. You know, it's a legacy play. You know, children typically don't keep the home. You know, I can't remember the statistic, but it's something like 90% of the children who inherit their parents' homes, they sell them. They don't keep them. So we as parents, we want to leave this property to them. It is for us a legacy building tool for our children. And it can be, I mean, if they sell it and then they receive the proceeds from it, then if they have good guidance, then they can invest that money, grow it, maybe buy something of their own and grow the difference. So it can be a wealth building tool for them in a way that they don't necessarily have to keep it. They can sell it, take the proceeds, and grow wealth that way. So I found that to be very interesting that, you know, we parents tend to want things for our children, and then they don't necessarily want it that way. So anyway, let's talk about that. So I mentioned that 37% of homes in the U.S. are owned outright, so there are no mortgages on them. But you know, why do people want to pay off their homes? Like, you got to ask yourself that question. Like, I had to ask, why would you want to pay off your home? And I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people deal with financial trauma. A lot of people have not had the best financial examples in their lives, maybe, or they have been introduced to a lifestyle that says that they should be completely debt-free. They should owe no man anything, if you're looking at it from a biblical perspective, or if you're just looking at it from a, I just don't want the hassle perspective, then that is absolutely your right. But a lot of people desire to pay off a home when they come to see me and we talk about this. They want security. They don't want to deal with it. They have the security of knowing that they own their home outright. They want stability, you know, especially when they're looking at retirement. You know, retirement can be a very scary thing. You can go from making, you know, multi six-figure income to a five-figure income overnight. And the lifestyle that you're used to living has to change drastically if it's proper, if you haven't properly planned, or even if you have, you know, now it's like I can decrease my expenses by getting rid of that home payment. That's one less bill and one less worry. So people come with that perspective. You know, the home is the biggest asset. It is the biggest payment that most people have in their lives, the largest payment that most people have in their lives. And so if you're paying $3,000-$4,000 a month for a home and you have an opportunity to pay that off, well, by golly, like that is so much relief, especially in retirement when you're looking at, you know, living on Social Security, having to pay Medicare insurance, you know, wanting to do some things in your retirement that you weren't able to do when you worked a job every day. So definitely, you know, having understanding that it is the biggest asset and getting rid of that asset, that's a lot of the reason why people want to get rid of it. They just don't want the worry. You know, they just don't want to be worried about how am I going to pay this house payment. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's legacy. They want to leave a legacy to their children, maybe to their grandchildren. And having a fully paid off house gives the children and or grandchildren the opportunity to do what they want with the property in a way that can create wealth for them. So I find that a lot of these reasons are more often than not emotional and not necessarily financial. And, you know, as opposed, when I compare the two. So, yes, there are some financial reasons people come to me wanting to create a plan to pay off their home. But most of the time, it is more emotional than financial. And as a fiduciary, it is my responsibility to lay out for you the advantages and the disadvantages of your desires from a financial perspective. So I kind of have to take the emotion out of it. Now, I do try to my best to relate to my clients. You know, I truly understand where people are, especially when it comes to financial trauma or just having a financial goal that you want to achieve. You know, you don't care, you're hell bent on it. This is the way I want it. And myself, I have to respect that desire and that decision and take that into consideration as we work together to develop your plan. So, you know, that's kind of my mindset. That's the way that I'm supposed to think. That's the way the CFP board requires that I think when I'm dealing with a client. So right now, let's look at some of the advantages of paying off your home, right? So from an emotional perspective, I did mention the reasons why, but we can transfer that into the emotional advantages as well, like having peace of mind. You know, just having the woosah, the peace of mind. You know, I have a couple of clients who have paid off their home. And that's the first thing they say when we meet. When they first came to meet with me, one of the first things out of their mouths was, I paid off my home. I don't own anything. I am completely debt free, including my household. And they are very proud of that. That is a sense of pride. Listen, like I mentioned earlier, this is the largest asset that you will have in your life, typically, in terms of a payment. And to achieve something, either if it took you 30 years to do it, 15 years to do it, 10 years to do it, by meeting that objective and paying that off, that is something to be celebrated. So they come in with a sense of pride. And guess what? You should, because you took something that should have taken someone way longer to do and you've condensed it. You were focused, you were disciplined, and you did everything that you needed to do and wanted to do to achieve that goal. And that should be celebrated, not diminished at all. So yes, it is a very emotional decision. It is a feeling of pride, a feeling of accomplishment. It also gives you peace of mind, right? That you don't have to worry about this. I mentioned earlier legacy. Hey, you have a fully paid off property, and homes appreciate in a good market, in a good economy, the value appreciates. So it's not something that you buy like a car and it drops 60% when you drive it off the lot. The home goes up in value. And then on top of, if you take care of it, then we're talking about additional appreciation. So those are some emotional advantages. You want to leave a legacy. You want the peace of mind. There's pride attached to it. You know, there's security that when I retire, I don't have to worry about a house payment. I can live in my home. And even if things are tough or a little tight, at least I don't have to worry about dealing with a mortgage payment. And that, and like I said, is one of the biggest payments that people typically have in their lifetime. The financial reasons that they say for, you know, in terms of the advantages of paying it off, the financial advantages would be, you know, financial freedom. I mean, like I said, the biggest payment you'll ever have, you will be financially free. You save on interest. You know, the first 10 years of home ownership, most of the payment, a good chunk, more than 50% of your monthly payment is going towards interest. And if you have property, a private mortgage insurance, it goes to that in taxes. A very small percentage goes to the principal. And so now you're going to save on some interest payments over time. If you calculate, or if you look at your, when you purchase your home and you look at the mortgage, what they call an amortization schedule, you can see at the end of 30 years, what you will pay or will have paid if you pay the same amount every month for 30 years. You're going to pay 2 times the price of the house typically. So if you pay it off early, you save in retirement, or you save in interest, excuse me. I mentioned earlier, you know, the other financial reasons or advantages, home security, right? You have the security. You have increased equity in the property. Again, this is not something that typically depreciates like cars. Although we know, and we have some instances where we've seen in the 2008 crisis and in the dot-com boom or bust, there were some challenges there. We saw, you know, some values drop and go up in 2020 with COVID. So there were some significant times in our history where the market impacted the home values, right? And we've seen some home values drop. A lot of that had to do with predatory lending practices and people owning homes that really weren't qualified for it, and just mortgage lenders really not doing the best for their clients. But typically a home increases in its equity. So, you know, when you purchase your home, 5-10 years down the line, ideally most situations, it's worth more than what you paid for it. And so you have equity in there. You have money in the home in addition to the home mortgage that you're paying. And then, you know, the other financial reason is it's good for retirement planning. Some people feel like as part of their retirement plan, this is a good financial strategy to put inside their plan that they pay off the home by or before retirement. So those are some of the emotional and some of the financial advantages of paying off your home and paying off your mortgage. And then, you know, there are some emotional disadvantages, right? Like who knew? Who would think that paying off a home would have some emotional disadvantages? And, you know, I had to really investigate that, because I too thought that was kind of weird. And all I could think of was the joy that people that I know that have free and clear homes feel, the excitement, the pride, just the sense of accomplishment they have. But one of the things, or a few things I found out, is that sometimes emotionally, when you've achieved the goal, sometimes it's a sense of, oh, now what next, right? And so once they pay it off, sometimes from an emotional perspective, some people may have like a loss for the sense of accomplishment. Sometimes they feel like, you know, socially in their social networks, they're alone. A lot of people, like I said, only 37% of the homes in the United States are owned free and clear. So there's a good chunk of people here in the country that do not have homes where the mortgages are free and clear. And so they may be a little bit weird, right? They may be more of the lone ranger, like socially awkward to some of their peers. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think we are all mature adults. And at this point in our lives, you know, there's a saying, you know, who cares about the Joneses? You know, the Joneses are broke. You know, so why would we even be concerned about what the people think? But there is some, you know, some people have a sense of wanting to feel accepted in their social networks. And if they have paid off their home and maybe their peers are not of this, don't have the same values or mindset, it could put some distance there. And that may be an emotional disadvantage that people deal with. And then, you know, there could be some financial anxiety. You know, I've been reading, and I'll share with you guys later, but I've been reading this book, and I've really been delving into the decisions that we make, why we make the decisions, like financial behaviors, right? And why? What is the root cause of financial behaviors? And I know for myself, I'll be quite honest, I've always lived in a state of chaos. You know, as a single parent, and in the household I lived in, it was, you know, one crisis to the other crisis. So sometimes you can be so used to drama and crisis in your life that when you get to a state of homeostasis, when everything is peaceful, when you've achieved your objectives, there could be some anxiety there. Like now it's like, what? For example, I know this may not be a financial thing, but it can be from a behavioral perspective. You know, I have switched. And when I started my practice, I started very much in I was in the insurance broker dealer world, which was very volume driven. I had over 200, almost 300 clients, not only that I service, but then every year I started over and I had to acquire new clients. And I was always on the grind. And in fact, it was like a badge of honor to be on the grind. You know, I've got this grind and, you know, I'm booked and busy. You know, that's what we say. We're booked and busy. And that makes us feel so accomplished and so successful. And then when I switched my business model and I decided to own my own registered investment advisory firm, when I decided to be the first woman in North Florida, Black woman in North Florida, to own her own registered investment advisory firm and do more financial planning holistically, comprehensively, to really work with individuals from beginning to end every quarter, making sure that I help them achieve and navigate the financial maze, my booked and busy wasn't the case. In fact, my calendar thinned out a whole lot, and it really made me anxious because I was used to the lifestyle of being booked and being busy. And so if we transfer that into paying off your home and the fact that you work so hard, some people work two jobs, some people sacrifice so much, maybe not buy the new car, maybe not take as many vacations because the goal is to pay off the home. And when they do, they're like excited about it. They're grateful for it. There is a sense of accomplishment, but then they feel like almost empty. Like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? And so I tell you, I struggled with that from a business perspective. And then I had to realize that people may struggle with that from an emotional perspective when it comes to paying off their home. That's something to think about. Now, listen, that's no reason to stay in debt. Okay. That's no reason for you to say, I'm not going to pay off my home because I can't deal with the anxiety of having more money and not having to work as much to achieve the objective. We've got this, going to be some other deep work that needs to be done, but that is not an excuse. for you not to do that if that's something you want to do. And so let's talk about the financial disadvantages of paying off your mortgage, right? So one of the financial disadvantages, and I know a lot of advisors like myself, they harp on this thing. So I am not telling you good or bad. This is just a disadvantage, and it is the opportunity cost of investing. So when you put all of your money in a fixed asset, right, we know that homes appreciate. And so that is, it is, like I said, one of the greatest ways or good ways that we can create legacy and generational wealth. But your home may not necessarily appreciate as much as investing in the market. You know, so they say an average of 8 to 12% of interest rate that folks are earning when they put their money in the market. And so when it's sitting in the home, sometimes you may not get that level of appreciation over time. And in some instances, it could be a loss of opportunity to investing opportunity. So that is also, that can be a financial disadvantage. And what needs to be done is really you need to get with someone and weigh the cost benefits of investing in the market and the time you have, because time is also the truth teller that will let us know, you know, how to go about it. But investing in the market and or paying off the home and comparing it based on your specific situation. So that could be a disadvantage, but it may not be based on your situation. But generally, they say that the opportunity cost lost or the investing opportunity lost is a disadvantage to paying off your home. The reduction in liquidity. So one of the issues is people say, hey, I want to retire. I don't want to have a house payment. I don't want to deal with any of that. Again, I want to be free and clear. The issue, though, is that all of your money is in a fixed asset, right? And you have very little liquidity. And you need liquidity to deal with life, right? So something happens, you need to be able to go to the bank to get the money to deal with the situation. If you have it in your house, it can be very difficult to get the money out. So one of the challenges I see is, you know, people may pay off their home and then they're in retirement and life happens. A relative, significant other becomes ill. And now the resources has to go to caring for the ill person. And now they don't have the liquidity of the money because it's all tied up in a paid off home. Sometimes also a paid off home could be prevent you from getting certain levels of care, especially from the government and support. But that's neither here nor there. We're not going into that, but you have something that's a fixed asset. And the crazy thing, I think the absolute crazy thing is you pay off your home and you want to get the equity out of your home. But to get the equity out of your home, you have to show credit worthiness to get the equity out of your home. So you paid it off, you own the mortgage, but to get access to some of the equity in the house, you have to show credit worthiness, you have to show income. You can't just go to the mortgage or to the bank and say, hey, this is paid off. I've got $200,000 of equity. I need $50,000. They're going to have you do an application to get the money out of your home. So that's also something to consider. So there's a reduction in equity available to you when you pay off your home. There are tax implications as well. You know, a lot of the clients I work with are high net worth women executives, have great incomes and great assets that they're investable assets. And when they have all of their money, if the house is all paid off, they don't get the benefit of the tax deductions against their income when they're filing their taxes. So they're already in the high tax bracket, you know, 24, 35, 37% tax bracket. And now they don't have the interest that they could deduct against their income when they're filing their taxes. So now they're going to pay even higher rates in their taxes. So the tax implications can be negative for you if you pay off your home. So that's also something. And if you project or suspect that your income is going to increase, if you're early in your career and you see it increasing, we really need to look at, okay, the tax implications of paying that off. And does it make sense at this stage? Will it be beneficial for you to take the deductions based on the interest? Because maybe the deductions on the interest you're paying is higher than a standard deduction when you're filing your taxes. And voila, you have less of a tax liability. So that's something that we look at as a financial advisor, and then also, you know, talk about with your CPA. So that's also a financial disadvantage of paying off your home. And then the last financial disadvantage is the lack of diversification. You know, everyone talks about diversifying. You should have stocks, bonds, you should have real estate, you know, you should have gold, you should have a diversified portfolio, and you should, right? Based on your risk tolerance profile, you should have a portfolio that is diversified so that if one category may take a decline or decline in one category, you have other types of investments that could kind of shore that up a little bit. And so you want to make sure you have a diversified portfolio. Well, when all of your finances and your resources are in a fixed asset, meaning if you paid off a $400,000 home and now it's worth $750,000, the majority of your portfolio, if you don't have other investments worth that much or more, the majority of your portfolio is kind of slanted in the fixed asset category. And again, that can be problematic as far as getting some of that equity out. So you want to make sure you have a diversified portfolio, and working with a financial advisor will help you to do that. So those are some of the advantages I outlined and the disadvantages of paying off your mortgage. So let's talk about them again. So the advantages from an emotional perspective: peace of mind, legacy, security, woosah, right? Financially, you got that financial freedom. You've got the savings on the interest. You're not paying the interest. You don't wind up paying twice for the home. You have home security. Listen, I have experienced homelessness before. It is not a pretty thing. To have something that you own, security, that's a beautiful thing. That's a good financial as well as can be an emotional advantage as well. Increased equity, property goes up in value. It does not drop like a rock, like cars, and it's not a depreciating asset per se. And so you typically have increased equity. So that is a financial advantage of paying off the home. And then for retirement planning, you know, as part of your retirement planning strategy is to not have a mortgage. And that is one thing off your plate. That definitely could be a beneficial and advantage of paying off your home from a financial perspective. The disadvantages emotionally, I talked about those. Loss of accomplishment, that whole social comparison, being alone, not fitting in. Your peers are not on the same level, may not have the same values. And then the financial anxiety that I talked about. Now what? I've done it. What do I do with this excess money? Now I have a whole nother set of issues I may have to deal with. And those things may not necessarily be financial. It may be something that needs to be worked out from an emotional perspective, but those can be emotional disadvantages of paying off your home. And then the financial disadvantages could be opportunity cost of investing. You losing the opportunity to invest in a market that has consistently given you high rates of return over a longer period. So if you have a longer time frame to invest, you know, the disadvantage would be paying off your home because all of that money is there. Reduction in liquidity. I talked about that. The fact that now you have this fixed asset. You don't have liquid cash available to you. You don't have something that you can turn into cash pretty quickly. If you have a stock and bond portfolio and you need to sell it to get access to cash, you can do that in 5 business days, have the money in your account. But when a home, when it comes to liquidating a home, either selling it or getting the equity out, a lot of times you have to jump through a lot of hoops. So that may not necessarily be the best advantage, or it may be a fight. It is a financial disadvantage to paying off the home. And then the tax implications, you know, if you're a high earning income woman, a lot of the women that I work with are, you're losing the opportunity to deduct that interest against your taxes. A lot of times, you know, if you have the interest deductions along with other deductions, then it could be above the standard deduction that allow you to itemize, and voila, it can, in some cases, reduce your taxable income. And so if you pay it off, that you lose the opportunity to do that. And then lack of diversification in your portfolio. Again, diversification is important. Having different types of investments working for you is extremely important. And when you have everything in a fixed asset and one type of investment, that's typically not a good thing. In fact, we financial advisors are warned by the CFP board, by compliance, that we should never put a person in one type of investment, 100% of all their assets in one thing. That is just not good, because if that one thing goes down, then they lose their whole portfolio. So the lack of diversification is a financial disadvantage to paying off your home. So again, those are some of the advantages and disadvantages that I wanted to outline. And then there are some things that I just want you to consider. And, you know, again, the interest rate. If you're thinking about paying off your home, if that's something you want to do, you're teeter-tottering about that. Again, we talked about the opportunity cost of investing. You know, if you want to look at that, the interest rate may be better if you invest it and earn a higher interest rate somewhere else. I did an interview, and if you guys want to go back, I don't remember what number it was, but I interviewed a young lady, Jeannie McGee, and we talked about reverse mortgages as a way to create generational wealth. Now, I know people have so many negative views on this. I myself did too, and I had a relative do this, but it actually is a phenomenal strategy for the right person. So I'm not telling people to do that, but I'm saying you can explore that and listen to that podcast and talk to her, but you could get interest, higher interest elsewhere. You know, it may not be a good thing to consider if you have high interest debt. You know, I want you to consider that. If you have high interest debt, you want to pay that off first before you focus on paying off a home. You know, even if your home is 8%, I mean, unless you have a 0% credit card, that's forever, which is doesn't happen. You want to make sure you pay off things like revolving debt, high interest debt, before you start looking at paying off your home. The other thing to consider is, do you have an emergency fund? So a lot of the women I work with are single women who have transitioned from divorce, been widowed, single moms, was a caregiver for their parents or their grandparents. They've had some sort of life transition. And if you are a single woman and you're successful, and you know, you're an executive and you have good income, you need to have, even if you don't have good income, you know, you need to make sure that you have an emergency fund. So my rule of thumb is, if you are a single woman, you need to have 6 months of expenses set aside in a separate account to respond to emergencies, okay? And then if you are married and you and your significant other make around the same, so let's say, you know, your spouse makes 150 and you make 175, well, then 3 months of expenses is fine. I always like 6 months, though, for everybody, because these days, if you lose your job, it takes 6 months typically to find another job. And the last thing you want to do is be stressed and pressured financially. The emotional thing that goes with job loss or some sort of sudden illness is, you know, enough to deal with. And then to add a layer of not having the finances to be able to live your everyday life is not something you want to deal with. So definitely making sure that you have an emergency fund. Exploring again things to consider, the tax implications, I discussed that. I want you to consider the investment opportunities that could potentially offset or be better than paying it off, just really from an objective point of view. Retirement planning, again, looking at that, you know, like I said, people don't want a mortgage in retirement. That's something to consider. What does your retirement lifestyle look like? Are you going to stay in that home through retirement? Is that your forever home? Are you one of those folks that now everyone wants to leave the country and backpack or go to another country and live? Is that what you're thinking about? What does retirement look like to you? That is going to be an important question for you to answer before you even decide to pay off your home, okay? What are the market conditions, you know, the current economic conditions, the current homeowners market conditions? What are those conditions? What are the interest rates? How will they impact you, you know, and if you pay off the home? So those are some things that, you know, as you're deciding whether or not that is a strategy that you want to take in your financial planning life, those are some things that I just encourage you to consider if you're, you know, as you're thinking about retirement, what it looks like. But most of all, as you're thinking about paying off your home and you know, or leaving a legacy, you know, some people are legacy minded. If that is it, is the home part of the legacy you want to leave? What does leaving a legacy look like to you? You need to do the deep work and ask yourself these questions. I, as an advisor, cannot tell you what to do. I give you options. I tell you, and I do give you advice based on the situation. I would advise X, Y, Z. But at the end of the day, this is your life, your home, your finances. And, you know, I always remember that it is your money. So I need to, as a fiduciary, make sure that I give you all the different scenarios and the different ways that your decision can impact you financially. So I hope if you need any other help consulting with a financial professional to discuss your financial goals and creating a plan that is flexible and that can help you is important. If you'd like to meet with me, you can. You can click the link in this podcast and send me an email, or you can call my office to schedule an appointment. I hope you found value in what I shared with you today. See you later. Bye.